Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Are there mountains in your life today? Know that faith in Jesus can help move those mountains, because He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think. Some of life's obstacles arise from unforgiveness and bitterness. Faith and forgiveness are two key roots that feed a fruitful walk with God. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 11 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 20 through 26.
Prayer is to be offered up with faith in God, with confidence in God. But unbelief hinders the work of God. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was ministering on earth, He went to a few places and He says He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. We read in Hebrews chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 4 that is a commentary on the 40-year wilderness journey. God told Israel, I will bring you into the promised land. One whole generation did not make it into the promised land. Why? It wasn't the giants. It was unbelief in the faithfulness of God. It was unbelief in the promises of God. Paul the apostle at one time was a radical, zealous, religious person. And when he gave his testimony in Timothy, he says, I did those things ignorantly in unbelief. Unbelief, beloved, is a sin. Unbelief hinders and quenches the word of God in our life. Galatians 5 tells us that among the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith in God. Faith in the character of God. Faith in the promises of God. Faith in God. Faith in God. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is the confidence that God is going to hear me. Christ has made the way possible. We have access to the Lord in prayer this morning. It's done. And faith is having confidence in God's wisdom, God's will, God's love, and in God's timing. Now, we may lay out our heart's requests, and yet, as Jesus taught us in the garden, we end those prayers this way. Not my will, but thy will be done. And if you can't pray, not my will, but thy will be done, then you don't want the will of God, and you will not get an answer to prayer. Hebrews 11:6 tells us how vital faith is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently, earnestly, sincerely, seriously. It is faith in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that not only moves mountains in our lives, but secondly, also turns our cold, bitter, and hard hearts into warm, tender, and forgiving hearts. That's one of the miracles of the gospel. God gives you and me a new heart, a heart that now places trust in the God that redeemed me, and a heart now that can forgive others who hurt me. Maybe that is just for the people that will be coming to the second service, so I'll just move on. But I don't think so. When Paul the Apostle wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said in chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And notice, he now begins to list things that grieve the Spirit of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? What's the standard? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Have faith in me, Jesus says. And when you pray, Our Father who art in heaven, if you have aught in your heart, deal with it. If you and I desire to walk in the power of God in our lives, we cannot harbor unforgiveness towards anybody. We don't have time to get into it this morning, but in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives a teaching of a man that owed a king a great debt. And this man was brought before the king and said, I will do everything that I can. I will sell everything that I have if you will just forgive me. The king says, no, you can never pay me what you owe me. I forgive you everything. That same person, that same individual who was immediately forgiven of everything went out, and the Bible says, and he looked for, I'm going to use my dear brother Joe, and I looked for Joe Norman. No, I'm saved. I'm totally forgiven. I go, Joe, do you remember what you owe me? Oh, Ray, I'll sell everything that I have if you'll just forgive me. No way, Jose. And Nemail got back to God. God, you see how Ray Viola treated Joe Norman? Didn't you forgive him everything? Yeah. Well, he won't let Joe off the hook, who, compared to how much you've forgiven him, did hardly anything to him. Oh, that wicked servant. Give him to the tormentors. You know why? Because unforgiveness is tormenting. The Bible tells us that the life of faith is both vertical and horizontal. Faith in God and having right relationships with one another. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, I can read this because it is very, very brief. It's not going to be on the screen. Jesus said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has anything against you, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So here we are this morning, bringing these offerings of praise and forgiveness and, you know, worship of God. But I wonder how many of us have done that. And there's someone on our bad list, our unforgiveness list. Forgiveness is a condition that is critical for prayers to be answered. And Jesus tells us, and Paul tells us, that an unforgiving spirit will short-circuit the power of prayer and faith. An unforgiving spirit. Unforgiveness is a sin. It grieves the Spirit of God. It quenches the Spirit of God. Unforgiveness is the mother of bitterness and hatred and grudges and anger and revenge and resentment. Unforgiveness and bitterness destroy relationships. They've destroyed ministries. They've destroyed churches. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 7, God told Cain that if he did not do what was right and repent, sin lieth at the door. Interesting how the phraseology there of sin lieth at the door gives, paints a picture for you and me of a predatory animal. Sin is like this animal that just crouches down, waiting to get you. waiting to get me. And here's one of the things that we need to get. We need to get straight in our hearts, beloved. Beloved, when you are through with sin, sin is never through with you. It's like a predatory animal. It will pounce on you. Cain's heart anger gave what? It gave birth to murder. And when you and I have unforgiveness in our heart towards people, eventually, you're going to make it your business to murder and destroy that person in one way or another. Unforgiveness just doesn't go away. It's like drinking poison and thinking someone else is going to die. Unforgiveness is a cancer. It gives way to anger and bitterness that just keep eating away at you like a predatory animal. And every time you see that person's face or hear their name, whether it be on Facebook or whatever, something inside you. That's not you. That's for the people in the second service. I'm going to say this to you because it's just true. I've been pastoring now for 35 years. And I have to tell you that the meanest and the scariest and the most dangerous and destructive people that I've ever met in ministry were people that were bitter, angry, and unforgiving. And they made it to their business to infect and pollute and hurt and destroy other people. The only way that the sin of unforgiveness can be taken out of this wretched heart is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That's it. That's the only way the cycle can be broken. So I cannot expect someone who is not a believer to walk in this forgiveness, but we can expect that one another, we can expect within the body of Christ, someone professing to be a believer will have that level of forgiveness. Unbelief, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes into the world, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. The unpardonable sin is unbelief in the person and the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But something happens in you and in me and in the person that hears the gospel and is legitimately born again by the Spirit of God. Something happens when the load and the guilt and the sin and the shame of your sin, when you realize how much you have been forgiven by God through Jesus Christ, when that weight is gone. Now I look at Joe Norman or John or Sam, and they never have. But perhaps they've said something or done something that has hurt me, that has offended me. So now I look at the cross and I realize I am to forgive as I have been forgiven. And compared to what I did to Jesus Christ, there is nothing that they could ever do that would even come close to how much I offended my God. See how important the gospel is? Remember that I had said last couple of weeks, that the gospel is not the ABCs of the Christian life. It's the Alpha and Omega of the Christian life. Now that I have been forgiven of all of my transgressions, all of my sin, all of my guilt, all of my shame, isn't it wonderful to be forgiven? I mean, really forgiven, totally forgiven, not in an abstract way. You are forgiven. God has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. Every single deed. Think of it. That is good news. Being forgiven. Now, I can forgive myself. And I can forgive others. Because God has forgiven me. But we must remember that forgiveness is not an emotion. If you wait till you feel like forgiving someone that has hurt you, You probably never will. You never will. You're going to want to get them. You're going to want to go online and hire rentamobster.com. That's just in our flesh. I could tell just by the fact that you're smiling. You go, yeah, how did you know what I was thinking? Gogetem.com. Or that's when we begin to pray the imprecatory psalms, right? Oh, we were studying the psalms on Wednesday night. Lord, break their teeth. But Jesus tells us when you pray, but you know what he's going to say. We just forget. Love your enemies. Bless them to curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise in the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you only love those that love you, what good is that? Challenging words by Jesus, right? If you wait to feel it, you never will forgive. It's an act of the will. It's actually an act of obedience unto God. My wife had the privilege years ago of being at a retreat out in California where the guest speaker was Elizabeth Elliot. And I have a picture of the two Lizzies. Lizzie Elliott and my Lizzie together. And she was teaching the ladies of pastors of the importance of the life of faith and it was the importance of forgiveness. And you know the story of Elizabeth Elliott. Her husband, Jim, was killed by the Huarani people of Ecuador during Operation ACA, A-U-C-A. You know what Elizabeth Elliott did? To honor God and to carry on her husband's mission, went to the very tribe that killed her husband and evangelized them. You think she understood the gospel? And here's the key. Here's the key. Jim Elliot was not Elizabeth Elliot's God. The God of Jim Elliot was Elizabeth's God. And it was the God of Jim Elliot who told Elizabeth, go and love them the way I've loved you. That you can't fake that, guys. You can't fake that. Having faith in God, walking in forgiveness. How do we do that? Well, first of all, you've got to come to God just the way you are, naked with no fig leaves, like Adam and Eve. Not covering up who you are. God knows who you are. The problem is that we don't want to face who we are. Sinners, wretched, ugly, filthy, ungodly, unholy. That's what we are by nature. And when you realize your condition and that there's only one way, one answer for all, and that's Jesus Christ. First of all, you turn to him. And he receives you. And he forgives you. And then you begin a life of what? Abiding in him. Walking with him. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Saved to what? To bear fruit of faith and have a fruitful prayer life. Now, it's important to clarify something here that can so easily be tripped up. Remember, salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. We do not earn our salvation by forgiving other people. That's moralism. That's legalism. That's you being your savior. We are forgiven by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And our forgiving spirit is the evidence that I've been given a new heart, I'm right with God, and I desire now to walk in His will. God forgives us for Christ's sake. That's the way we're saved. But the evidence of the power of God at work in our lives is that we are willing to forgive others as we've been forgiven, just as Jesus said, in what many of us were taught to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who..." Yeah. Guess what denomination I was born in? "And deliver us from evil." Deliver us from evil? The evil of unforgiveness. Beloved, until we breathe our last breath, unbelief and forgiveness are fiery darts of the enemy that we're going to have to learn how to come to grips with all the time. The enemy's going to challenge our faith in God, and life is just shaped in such a way that we're going to have to deal with people. Unfortunately, that's all we have on planet Earth, are sinners. And we all are there. We're all a part of the problem. Jesus wants us this morning to have gospel-shaped, heart-transforming fruit of faith and forgiveness, not the fig leaves of abstract theology with no power inside, without any visible expression of application. So let's close with this. Have you taken the first step? Have you repented of your sin and believed in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your eternal soul? Have you ever done that? Do you realize that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven, from faith to faith. Today, you can be made right with God. You can't save yourself. Religion can't save you. Good works can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. And if you will turn to Him and realize what a sinner you are, and we're worse than we even think we are, and say, "God, have mercy on me," He'll forgive you. And that's you. We would like to pray with you after the service. "Except you repent," Jesus said, "you will likewise perish." Or maybe today is the day where you've got to send that email. You've got to make that call. You've got to send that card. You've got to send that fruit basket to someone that you've had ought against. Love Raymond. Love Joe. And then you'll hear the thud on the floor. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? That Jesus not only died for our sins, but that He is for us the greatest example. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, one last thing. I think this is the Lord. Many times a person thinks that when you forgive them, that means all of the bad things that have been done just go away. They're still there. There are consequences for our sinful actions. Forgiveness means that person no longer lords over you. When you hear their name, you pray for them. You want them well. You desire to see them, if they're not saved, saved. God changes your heart. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.